The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome back to First Take. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. It's draft season, and teams are making moves on Friday, starting with the Niners, who traded their number 12 pick this year, a first, and with the third-round pick in 2022 and a first-round pick in 2023 for the Dolphins' number 3 pick this year. Shortly later, the Dolphins traded back up with the Eagles, acquiring their number 6 and number 156 picks for the number 12 pick, number 123, and their 2022 first-round pick. A lot to digest there, a lot of numbers. Take a moment. Hope that made sense. At least you have the full screen to look at. Max, who's the big winner after these draft trades?
Jets fans are the big winner after these trades, because what all these trades mean is that Miami couldn't get Zach Wilson, so they moved on. So they traded down out of the 3 spot and got more stuff to build around Tua, who I assume they like because he's good. And I didn't watch a lot of Zach Wilson in college. It reminded me of the 04 draft when all of a sudden toward the end of the year I heard a lot about Roethlisberger, this big kid, Roethlisberger. And so I started watching stuff after the fact. Oh, yeah, he's good. Zach Wilson's name pops up late and everyone's like, yeah, he's going to go before Fields. What, really? Before Justin Fields? And I was defending Fields for a while, but over the last couple of weeks I've been watching a lot of Zach Wilson. Oh, my God. I see it. I see it. Like, you have to give it up at a certain point. This dude is talented. And when you look at the Jets, you know what the type of thing the Jets would do throughout their history? No, we're going to stay with Sam Darnold. Yeah, but what's Sam Darnold? Sam Darnold may wind up eventually to be a good quarterback. You can't rule that out. But the early returns don't look so good. And is he going to be a great quarterback? Really, you're going to go with Sam Darnold? You're going to build around him? You're going to spin your wheels and probably waste Jets fans' time? No. They've clearly identified Zach Wilson as the guy. And by the way, guys, they have 4 first-round picks in the next couple of years, this year and next year. They have multiple third-round picks. And they could probably trade Sam Darnold, you would think, for at least a second. So that's 4 first, what, 3 seconds and 3 thirds to build around a quarterback who has a real chance to be great. That has to make Jets fans look good, Stephen A. They clearly valued the difference between Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold. They valued that as beyond everything Miami gave up to trade back, because they obviously could have had at least that, the 12th pick in the draft and multiple firsts. And that's the difference. That's the premium they put on Zach Wilson over Sam Darnold. And I agree with them. I think Jets fans should be happy.
To me, it's the 49ers. And you know why? Because if you think about some of the things that happened last year, after they go to the Super Bowl, you let Brockton get away. Obviously, Bosa gets hurt. He's out. He's down and out. And your defense was compromised to some degree, even though it was still an elite defense in the National Football League. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. George Kittle got hurt. Debo Samuel was out a little bit earlier. I forget which games that he missed or whatever, but he certainly didn't play the whole season. He's going to be back, okay? Jimmy Garoppolo's going to be back. George Kittle's going to be back. You've got this guy, Jeffrey Wilson. You still got Mostert as one of your running backs as well. Okay? I'm looking at it from the standpoint that you secured the quarterback position, because Jimmy Garoppolo, a.k.a. porn star Jimmy, was not the most reliable dude in the world. You know, he was an injury waiting to happen, which is the big indictment against him. And what did you do when Jimmy Garoppolo was gone? You struggled. As you highlighted, Max, when he's in the lineup and healthy, he wins far more games than he loses, okay? Well, guess what? When he's not out, you didn't have anybody to replace him. Now we're talking about whether it's Zach Wilson, whether it's Trey Lance or somebody else. You're going to get one of these guys. That's how I'm looking at it from this perspective. You could talk about a quarterback. You could talk about positioning yourselves to get a wide receiver. It does not matter. The bottom line is you're going to upgrade. Either you're going to get yourself a quarterback or even Mac Jones, because I like Mac Jones out of Alabama.
Hearing a lot that he might go third.
I like him a lot. So I'm looking at it from that perspective. But I'm saying, if you're talking about the 49ers and you've got the number 3 pick in the NFL draft, you're talking about Lance or Wilson in all likelihood, or even Justin Fields. Any way you slice it, You're buffering yourself at the quarterback position. You don't give up two future first-round picks unless you're in all likelihood looking for a quarterback. That's what I think the 49ers are doing here. I think that it's the right thing to do because I think when you look at the rest of their squad, they've got a crew. It's just that at the quarterback spot, it wasn't reliable because you had a guy in Jimmy G that just simply was not durable.
You know what becomes apparent to me here is that the Jets and the Dolphins look at Zach Wilson and say, that dude is different, right? There's Trevor Lawrence, it seems to me, and Zach Wilson in this draft as the ones that at least those two teams are thinking those guys are a cut above because Miami reportedly was looking to trade up, couldn't do it, and then decided to trade down. And look at how much they extracted just to go from three to six. To fall three slots, you got all those picks. I mean, that's a whole lot. And obviously the Jets could have had that haul had they traded out of the Zach Wilson slot. The Niners are the one team that's thinking differently. Shanahan seems to be thinking differently because Shanahan is looking maybe at Mac Jones, who a lot of people think is the best comp is Matt Ryan, right? Mm-hmm. And if it is Mac Jones, boy, that's a lot to give up for a guy who most people think would go later on. See, and you have Jimmy G as a mentor for a year.
Here's my deal. I don't consider Jets fans winners because they've got so many question marks. And they've been allergic to winning for so long. I mean, they have nowhere to go but up for Robert Saleh. I think he's a damn good coach, and I expect him to do good things. But still, it's a work in progress. As it pertains to the Miami Dolphins, the fact that you found yourself involved in such a deal, to me, creates question marks about Tua Tagovailoa. Now, you may have ultimately reached the conclusion that he has a promising future and we're going to trust him moving forward. But when I think about the Miami Dolphins, they just seem to have more questions than answers at this particular moment in time, even as it pertains to their quarterback. And that's what I'm suspect
about. But wait a minute. Tua, all they're saying is, other than Zach Wilson and Trevor Lawrence, we don't think any of these quarterbacks gives us a big premium over our guy.
Right.
Now they have the sixth pick,
but multiple firsts to build around.
They're
already pretty Miami?
Good.
Where was Miami? They were at number three.
Right. So
what I'm saying is, if it was really about those guys, right? Okay, then why move down? You obviously have more needs, and you're willing to surround Tua. But yeah. I'm just saying the question.
So you can't get Zach Wilson with three.
The questions that we've asked about them, it just seems to me like, say for example, if they could have got Zach Wilson, then buy Tua.
No, they couldn't.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm saying.
I understand that, but I'm saying if they could have, they would have said buy. You see what I'm saying? That doesn't say much to me about Tua.
Okay, that's to me, we look at it totally different. Mm-hmm. You're saying that's kind of down on Tua. I see them as being, no, we like our guy.
Like him, but not love him. They don't love him.
But you just drafted them. The same way about him, too.
You just drafted him number six overall last year. Number five or six overall last year. So I'm like, wait a minute now. If you're already saying we like him, but we don't necessarily love him, that's a problem.
It seems to me if Zach Wilson was in last year's draft, he'd have gone second.
You should be in love with a top six pick at the quarterback position that you just drafted a year ago. You should.
The honeymoon
you should still be newlyweds. The honeymoon should still be going on.
Coming off an injury, and he did not show greatness, but he showed flashes.
Yes, he did. Yeah, I like Tua.
I think Jets fans should be psyched right now.
Yeah.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. In the NFL, fellas, while speaking with Ian O'Connor of the New York Post, Giants owner John Mara said that he can say without any hesitation that Daniel Jones has what it takes to win a Super Bowl. And Mara didn't stop there. When asked if he can win multiple Super Bowls like Eli Manning, Mara said, I don't see why not. Jones is about to enter his third season in the league. Many think the third year is the sweet spot to see what a QB is all about. Max Kellerman, resident Giants fan, along with myself, what are your expectations for Jones this season?
Well, I don't think he'll win multiple Super Bowls this season.
Thank you.
You know, I would say it is fair to say that in the worst division ever, this NFC East, that Daniel Jones should be able to make the playoffs with, at the very least, pretty good defense, an offensive line that has some promise and is probably going to be added to in this year's draft. Skills position, weapons, like legit weapons. You got a real number one now in Galladay to go with Slayton, who maybe could emerge as a number one, certainly as a deep threat. Shepard, a good slot receiver. You not, don't just have Ingram with a lot of talent, although not great at catching the ball all the time, but a real threat to at tight end. But in you know, you have another tight end, like a real pro in Kyle Rudolph. You have every kind of weapon a quarterback could want on offense and the defense. And a promising young coach and a weak division. And you make the playoffs in year three. Look what happened to Josh Allen in year three. Year three is supposed, year two is the development year. Year three, they really show out, right? The young quarterbacks. Now, Stephen A., I'm not positive because when he had that bad wheel, Daniel Jones was a sitting duck in the pocket. And I get the line wasn't great, but you would think that even if he can't be as mobile as he normally is, which is very mobile, he'd have enough. I keep hearing about his football IQ. He can make reads, get rid of the ball, has a good, strong, accurate arm. Well, in that case, you shouldn't just be a sitting duck just because you're immobilized a bit by a bad leg. So I'm going to wait and see. I'm going to hope for the best. But I would say realistically, Daniel Jones's expectations this year in the weak NFC East is at least make the playoffs.
You're pathetic.
You're three.
So is Molly. Y'all kill me with the. Just stop it, y'all.
I'm not pathetic. I didn't say anything.
That's just pathetic. Yeah, you didn't say anything in this moment, but you're a Daniel Jones got you. You're the one that created the nickname Danny Dimes. It was you. Just like you said, Jimmy G.
How do I get that,
Molly. You come up with these nicknames. Everybody on national television needs to know this. It's Molly that comes up with these nicknames. Now, I did make up porn star Jimmy. That was me. Now, I own that.
I also made up Southern Steve when you show up in LA.
When you show up on Melrose in LA in front of everybody with a porn star, you are a porn star, Jimmy. Yes, you are.
By the way,
I'm not knocking it for. Ain't no hater right there. But here's the deal. You're Danny Dimes.
I know you hang out on Rodeo. Settle down.
Well, you know, Rodeo is nice. I mean, it's Rodeo. It ain't Melrose. Yeah. There's a difference. Yeah. Trust me. Here's the deal. Danny Dimes has been sacked 83 times in 2 years. 38 his first year, 45 last year in 14 games. I can't even count the amount of times he's fumbled. I know that Max Kellerman almost lost his damn mind from all the times he fumbled. Now, I won't even hold it against him that he had a sprint towards the end zone against the Eagles and tackled himself. I won't even get on him about that. It happens, I think. The point is,
Earth monster.
The point is this. Danny Dimes has two problems, all right? First of all, he's got 35 touchdowns but 22 interceptions. 22 interceptions, okay? And then you don't get enough protection. Plus, you don't know how to hold on to the football. I don't think that it's beyond the realm of possibility that the Giants make the playoffs. But it's because of Joe Judge and the job that he's doing as head coach of this franchise. And the way that he got those guys getting better and better every single week collectively. I don't look at Daniel Jones as being the reason to expect anything from the Giants. If you want to sit there and make the argument to me, Dallas's defense is going to be highly suspect, even with Quinn there now instead of Mike Nolan as the defensive coordinator. Okay, fine. You want to tell me that the Washington football team is not going to have much of an offense because we don't really, really understand who their quarterback is. Is it Heinicke? I thought it was a muffler, but evidently it's the name of a quarterback who played well in the playoffs against Tom Brady, no doubt. But is it going to be him? Is it going to be somebody else? We don't know. Ryan Fitzpatrick is there now. Okay, so you're expecting some things for him. All right, their defense is real, but their offense might be suspect. You want to give me those as a reason, that's fine. But when I look at the Giants, I applaud the job Joe Judge has done. I am a fan of the work that he has done, how he's got them collectively better. But it ain't going to be because of Daniel Jones.
In his
rookie, I don't see that.
Daniel Jones and Gettleman reached to take him at six, was very impressive in the preseason his rookie year, and wound up finishing that season with 24 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. It's a very good rookie campaign.
Okay.
Last year, if anything, he seemed to regress. He didn't seem to make much progress to me. But a lot of that could be the fact that they didn't really have a number one receiver, and Saquon Barkley wasn't there. Now, besides not having a very good offensive line, Saquon, like, the team was built as much around Saquon as it was around Daniel Jones, and he wasn't there. My point this season is Daniel Jones is going to have no excuses. The offensive line should be much better. The defense is good. The weapons are everywhere you look, and Saquon is back. I expect in a weak division for them to make the playoffs. If they don't make the playoffs, it is an utter failure.
Yeah, weapons better be better. Last season, the receivers ranked last, dead last, in yards after the catch. That's called yak, Stephen A., in case you didn't know.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. And just like that, we are down to the Elite Eight of March Madness. Later today, 12-seed Cinderella Oregon State will face Houston, and 1-seed Baylor will take on Arkansas. Then tomorrow, 1-seed Michigan facing UCLA, and top overall seed Gonzaga getting a test from SC. Joining us now, Mr. College Basketball himself, the one and only Dickie V. Dickie V, how are you, first of all? Great to see you, as always. We need your energy this morning, especially on a Monday. Can be tough for some. How we doing?
I'm doing really well. You know, first of all, the game's ended so late, and I get up at 5:30 in the morning to do SportsCenter at 7. But you know what? That's fire in my belly, man. As long as I eat some good spaghetti at night or lasagna before I go to bed, rigatoni, I'm in great shape. It gives me all that energy. I want to keep up with the shy, introverted one, Stephen A. Smith. If that guy had a chance to give an opinion, he might make it in TV, Molly. I'm saying he's so shy. Help me get out of that.
Call him out of his shell.
I know. I like that you carb up before bed. It helps you sleep well. I could eat pasta every day. I'm with you. All right, I want to start with Michigan. Shocker there. Obviously, they're in the Elite Eight. They haven't had livers the entire tournament. Dickie V, do you think they can run the table without having one of their best players?
Well, you know, certainly a lot tougher, and there's no question about it. They can use your husband, Jalen Rose, to fit in. But the bottom line is, let me say this, Brandon Johns was terrific yesterday. He really played brilliantly for them, and he has stepped in and has done a solid job, a veteran player. Also, they're getting great play off the bench. Sean D. Brown has been sensational. He is the reason, a difference maker, that they beat LSU. He had 21. Yesterday against Florida State, he hits two big threes. He scores 12 points. So people are contributing. And then you got the real consistent ones. You got the post player, Hunter Dickinson, at 7-1. He's certainly a major factor. And Michael Smith, who they get from Columbia. I mean, Columbia was last place in the Ivy League. But yet, Juwan Howard, went to look at video and really liked and analyzed his game. He was one of the top scorers, certainly top scorer in the Ivy, and one of the top scorers in the country. He's come here, he's changed his game. He's become a catalyst, a guy who makes things happen, puts pressure on the defense, brings the ball up the court effectively. And then you factor in Wagner, who's an NBA player potential. They got a chance. There's no doubt about it. But it will not be easy. That next game, the four letters, UCLA. Who'd have ever believed it? Let me tell you, what Mick Cronin has done has been incredible with that program. They came into the tournament, lost four games in a row. But then they get on fire at the right time, beat Michigan State. They come up, certainly did a great job in beating BYU. And then they beat the Cinderella, Abilene Christian. And last night, talk about survive and advance. Wow.
Listen, I'm glad you brought up UCLA because that's where I'm going. I'm like, what the hell is going on in Southern California? UCLA, USC. I'm like, what on earth is going on there? I did not anticipate that the Pac-12 would be this formidable in the NCAA tournament, but that is exactly what has happened, Dickie V. Explain that to me.
Not, you know, you're not the only one. We've all been raving and screaming and yelling all year long. Hey, the Big Ten is the number one conference. The Big 12, 1 and 2. Those conferences are separate from everyone else. You know what happened, Stephen A., Molly, and Max? Number one, we don't get a chance. We don't get a chance on TV to see those teams out there in the Pac-12. And I've been for the last 2 years, if people go to my timeline at Dickie V and my Twitter, I've been putting up there for the last 2 years, the Pac-12 has improved immeasurably. And you look right now, I mean, it's amazing to have three teams in the Elite Eight from a conference that people gave no respect to, none whatsoever. And you talk about UCLA, I'm just amazed at the job he has done. The kid Juzang and Jacquez have been super. That point guard, they got Campbell. I'll be honest with you guys. I'll be honest with you. Yesterday, when that kid hit the three, Reese.
Yes, it was over, right?
Foul. Yeah, I said, Uncle Mo, man, momentum now in Alabama, it's over. Shows you how much I know, man. 42 years, I know zilch. Because the bottom line is, they come out, UCLA, and before Alabama could blink, it was over in overtime. Done, finished. And that's a credit. Mick Cronin, he worked for Rick Pitino. Rick Pitino told me on the phone in a conversation with him when he got the job. He said, I will tell you now, Cronin is going to get it done. He's got toughness about him. He's a disciplinarian, and he relates well with young people. He communicates. And I'm telling you, he has done an amazing job.
That's where I was going. The UCLA, when Reese hits that shot from as deep as he hit it.
Only shot of the game.
To force it to overtime. You know at that point, of course, Alabama is going to win. It takes such discipline, as you said, Dickie V, for a college-age kids to steady the ship like that and come out and do what they did in overtime. So given all that we've seen in this tournament so far, all the upsets, all the madness, anyone going to beat Gonzaga? What's going to happen there?
I'm going to tell you something. If I'm the Zags, I'm a little worried. There's one team right now. See, I've got them going 32-0. I still do. But they're a prohibitive favorite right now. I think they're a 9-point favorite over Southern Cal. I wouldn't count on that. Southern Cal has been impressive. By the way, is Southern Cal and Michigan, they're both now basketball schools. Forget the pigskin. I mean, who would ever thought that? Southern Cal and Michigan have become unbelievable scenarios in the world of basketball. And I would tell you this. Those two Mobley guys, with the length they have, the size, a lot of people don't know this. They're fourth in the nation in defense field goal percentage. They lead the nation in block shots, Southern Cal. This is not going to be Cupcake City. The kid Eddie can play, the kid White, they had 20 and 22 in the last game against Oregon. And I'm telling you, this team is dangerous, dangerous. You better believe Mark Few is going to have a tough time sleeping, thinking about it. However, the Zags' ball movement, player movement, share the ball. They lead the nation in scoring. They lead the nation in field goal percentage at 55%. And they lead the nation, which tells you they're unselfish, 18 assists per game. When you're sharing a ball, you're getting high percentage shots. You got a chance to win.
Well, listen, I'm with you. I got Gonzaga winning the national title as well, running the table and going undefeated. But I will confess, number one, let's take a moment just to pause to give Juwan Howard some major credit with what he has done with the Wolverines. It's a special job that he's been doing, number one.
Without livers.
That's right, without livers. Number two, here's what I would tell you, Dickie V. We talk about Gonzaga, how efficient they are, how explosive they are offensively. When they amp it up defensively, they can. They look unbeatable. But I'm not sleeping on Baylor. Baylor has gotten my attention because I'm looking at Baylor, particularly their guard play and what they can do defensively. All right? And I'm saying, I'm not sleeping on these brothers at all. Baylor has impressed me. Houston to slightly lesser degree, but I like Houston as well. But Baylor, I'm not ignoring Baylor, who was the number one seed as well.
Yeah, you can't ignore Baylor. Baylor, before the season, before the COVID-19 hit them, they were 17-0 and dominant. And they've been the number one and two teams with Gonzaga and them. And Michigan was in that two slot. You know, we're talking all about how there's been a lot of upsets. We may have, when it's all said and done, the chalk up there. Gonzaga, one. You had Baylor, two. And Michigan, three. And Michigan got the two at one time in the rankings. And I agree with you about Juwan Howard. This is only the beginning. His recruiting class coming in is number one in the nation. And I told you last time we were on a show, Stephen A., and I told Molly, I told Max, I told you guys, one thing that worries me, because I love the college game, eat, sleep, and drink it, I hope and pray that they don't take him to the three letters you love so much, Stephen A., NBA. We need him in college. He's great for young people. And by the way, I don't think he's going to go too quickly because he's got a son right down here at IMG. He's a junior. He's off the charts. Off the charts. People tell me the kid is so legit, it's unreal. I asked Juwan about it. What's your chance of recruiting him? Well, when I took him for a game I was doing before I did the game at Michigan State, he said, I think he had a pretty good chance. I know his mother really well. I think he's got a chance.
What a great line.
So he's going nowhere.
Yeah, by the way, let's make it unanimous about Juwan Howard. It's not just there's the recruiting component, there's the coaching, instilling confidence, there's the X's and O's and plays out of timeouts, all that stuff. It's the trifecta, as Dickie
V. He's doing a hell of a job. He's doing
a
hell of a job.
What a job he's doing. Dickie V, I want to take your temperature on the tournament because we did this last week. Maybe it was the greatest opening weekend in tournament history, especially considering the backdrop of COVID and how starving we were for this tournament. Where are you now on it? Is it still maybe the greatest tournament we've ever seen at this point?
Well, you know, we can put it up there. I rank it as one of the best, obviously. But, you know, obviously it goes up a notch because of you just mentioned. Dealing with COVID-19 has been incredible. Coaches, people, medical people, the trainers, the staff. What about a salute and a tip of the hat? I know we jump on them all the time, the NCAA. But what about the great job they've done, Dan Gavitt and company, to make this happen? Other than VCU, my heart breaks for those kids. I mean, here they go to get to a tournament and they can't play because of COVID. That's the only real step that we've had, the only slide in terms of the tournament. So again, I say a salute and a tip of the hat to Mark Hemmert, Dan Gavitt, and all those beautiful people that care about basketball, even though some of the rules they talk about and how long it takes for them to make a decision when you got schools out there accused of cheating, changing transcripts. Come on, 5 years, that I can't buy. Don't buy it at all.
Yeah. Dickie V, let me ask you this. We've talked about programs, but I want to talk players. Who's been your most outstanding player thus far in the tournament?
You know, Molly, that's kind of tough in a way, but when I think about it, I'm going to go because they wouldn't be where they're at without these two guys. Jazang down there, certainly with UCLA. Imagine what they feel in Kentucky. He was at Kentucky, barely got off the bench. He's averaging 20 points a game, transferring, going back home, playing at UCLA. And I'll tell you, we can't forget the kid. There's no way they survive, no way they're playing right now if it wasn't for Ethan Thompson, who, by the way, his dad, I don't know if you noticed, Stephen A., his father was a great player at Syracuse, Stevie Thompson, and is on the coaching staff. And I will never forget one of the magical moments in broadcasting 42 years when Sherman Douglas went between his legs, almost like at midcourt, and threw a pass up to Thompson, and Thompson scored. So I would go with his son, Ethan, and Jazang.
Dickie V, before we let you get on out of here, this is just, I'm going old school on you now. I have said this for the record, and I want confirmation from the great Dickie V, Dick Vitale, and damn it, you better agree with me on this. Michael Jordan has played. Lethal Weapon 3 at Georgia Tech. Kenny Anderson, Brian Oliver, Dennis Scott played. Shaq with Chris Jackson before he became Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf and LSU with Stanley Robbins, the whole crew. The greatest show in the history of college basketball was Dwayne Pearl Washington out of Syracuse. Are you giving confirmation on that?
I'm going to give confirmation because I love the Pearl, man. Maybe resting up in heaven. He was so dynamic. I couldn't wait to go do games in Syracuse to see him handle the rock, the kid from out of Brooklyn, from down there in the Bedford-Stuyvesant area.
He was something
special. The Pearl.
So you confirm. You with me. You agree with me.
I agree. Stephen A., I never argue with you. Are you kidding me? Stephen A., you are my idol. You're my idol. The only thing I'm ticked off about you, Stephen A., and I got to say this. You
know, don't be jealous, Molly. Don't be jealous.
Because I'm young. Stephen A., listen to me. I'm upset with you. They told me we got no money for you, Dickie V. We gave it all to Stephen A. You can't give me some of that cash?
What? That's not me. I don't know what you're talking about. That's not me. I'm innocent. I'm innocent of these charges. I'm innocent of these charges.
I'm just a poor little Italian kid trying to make a living.
Yeah. I'm not jumping off, Molly. I'm telling you.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Remember UConn, Molly. That stuff we saw at UConn with all the great progress. Dwayne Pearl Washington, the greatest show in the history of college basketball. Even greater show than Michael Jordan, Kenny Anderson, Chris Jackson, all of them.
But what do you Dwayne think Pearl Washington. What do you think of Pearl Washington, though?
I want to just simply let me say this before I leave. It's been a blast being on with you these 3 weeks. I tell you, you're great. You really are terrific. And I'm really just honored that you have me on for the 3 weeks.
We're honored to have you, buddy.
God. Oh, please. Dickie V.
Honor is all ours.
It's so much fun. The analysis, the energy, all that. So we'll talk to you soon. I died a little bit when he said Stephen A's is idol, though. So I'm just trying to recover from that. Yeah, I'm out there. I mean, honestly, like, I just threw up a little in my mouth. Hold on. So time to check in on the West Stand. Currently, the Jazz are in first. Obviously, we're talking about the NBA, followed by the Suns, the Clippers, and the Lakers, Nuggets, Blazers, Spurs, and Mavs. But Sixers coach Doc Rivers said before facing the Clippers this weekend, there's two staple squads are still the teams to beat in the West. Stephen A., who should feel most disrespected by Doc Rivers' comments?
I would say the Utah Jazz. And the reason I would say the Utah Jazz is because of what we've seen from them this year, the way they play together, how exceptionally well coached they are. They're the number one seed. Last time we saw them against the Lakers, they blew them out. Donovan Mitchell is a star in this league, ladies and gentlemen. He is a star. I thought y'all remembered that considering what he did in the playoffs last year. Y'all must have forgot. But when you look at them, tell me what their weakness is. They're the best three-point shooting team in the league. They've got size on the interior. They've got defensive wizardry on the perimeter. I mean, they can shoot. They pass the ball well. They defend. They rebound. They block shots. They're the number one seed in basketball. They've thus far have definitely looked better than anybody else in the Western Conference. So, to me, based on what Doc Rivers said, I can understand where he's coming from because LeBron is LeBron, AD is AD, and the playoffs have yet to start. But the Clippers, obviously, are not having proven to be that team as of yet. So if I'm going to sit up there and say the Lakers and the Clippers still a team to beat in the West, if I'm Utah, I would say, all right, the Lakers are the reigning defending world champions, but what the hell are you throwing the Clippers into that sentence for, Doc Rivers? That's what I would feel like if I were the Utah Jazz. Oh,
I think that's a perfectly fine, reasonable position to take. Utah's been excellent this year. The team that should feel most disrespected is the Denver Nuggets.
Okay.
Denver Nuggets beat Utah in the first round in a classic series. No Bogdanovich, but you know who Denver didn't have? Aaron Gordon, who they now have. Mm-hmm. You know who wasn't really that dude yet? Porter Jr., who now is. Who's shooting like 44% from three.
He's a special offensive talent.
He certainly is. And look, Paul Millsap's coming off the bench now. They just got Aaron Gordon, who's a Skywalker. And by the way, having a good shooting year. Here's the thing about Denver. Not only did they beat Utah round one, and they just added Aaron Gordon, they knocked out the Clippers round two. They knocked out the Clippers. So who should feel offended by that? I don't know. The team that beat the Clippers last year? And by the way, The Clippers do pick up playoff Rondo, and that's a real thing. Rondo goes in the regular season from not average starting point guard quality. I mean, they've got more than 15 guys better in regular season when the games don't matter that much. Mm-hmm. When the games matter in the playoffs, Rondo's an all-star. Playoff Rondo is real. Know what else is real? Playoff Jamal Murray. Because Jamal Murray doesn't go from below average in the regular season to all-star in the playoffs. Jamal Murray went last year from almost kind of an all-star caliber player in the regular season to MVP in the playoffs. He played an MVP caliber in the playoffs. Now, what's the difference between Utah and Denver? Utah's got one of those guys in Donovan Mitchell. Denver's got two of those guys. And in the playoffs, that's what matters. Who do you have? If you have other pieces too, which Denver does, mm-hmm. who do you have that can be an MVP caliber player? Jokic, who could win the MVP this year. Jokic is having one of the best offensive seasons ever, ever. He's amazing. But he might not even be the best player on the team come playoff time the way Jamal Murray played in the first round last year and the second round for that matter. Jamal Murray and Jokic give them a two-headed monster on top of MVP caliber players that very few teams can match, and that includes Utah. The Aaron Gordon trade puts them over the top. I think it's Denver.
By the way, just a slight correction. The Utah Jazz are number one in three-pointers made. The Clippers are number one in three-point percentage shooting. Yeah. All right, so I just wanted to make sure I corrected that point. That's number one. Number two, I get where you're coming from, but we're talking about this year. We're not rewinding the clock to last year and what transpired in the playoffs. We're talking about, based what we've seen this season, the Doc Rivers is saying that what he said essentially based on what we've seen. When AD and LeBron is in the lineup, we see how formidable the Los Angeles Lakers were this season. When the Clippers, when Kawhi Leonard and Paul George are playing, we've seen how formidable they've been. But the Utah Jazz are 34-11. They're the number one seed in the NBA. They have been flat out balling. And we just got to look at their coaching staff and the exceptional job that they're doing and the way that they play together and how they're beating you for the perimeter. If this was a team with the same exact record, Max, and they sat up there and they had this record and they were this formidable because Rudy Gobert was leading the way and Donovan Mitchell was still averaging 24, I wouldn't have that mentality. It's that right now you're looking at them. Again, number one in three-pointers made. All right, number two in three-point percentage shooting. You got Jordan Clarkson. He's
great six man nowadays.
He could potentially win sixth man of the year award. Yeah. Quinn Snyder could win coach of the year honors. Legitimately, you see the things that Rudy Gobert could be your defensive player
in the playoffs.
All I'm saying, but what I'm saying is, in the playoffs, what wins for you, particularly in this day and age? The ability to defend. The ability to defend and to hit threes.
Fine. But in the playoffs, the Nuggets have two superstars and the Jazz have one.
Well, what I'm saying
in Donovan Mitchell.
What I'm saying,
let me say something.
Denver lost.
Let me say something. Well, to the Lakers, eventually. Okay. Aaron Gordon, when he's supposed to be the best player on your team, because his shooting really, this year it's better, but it didn't come around to the extent you might want to like it to come around. No. But it kind of reminds me of Iguodala, not in terms of the style of play, but when Iguodala is supposed to be the best player on the Sixers, come on, that's a little bit of a stretch. You're not going to win a championship that way. When he's the fourth best player on your team, Aaron Gordon now doesn't have to worry about carrying a team. He can just fit in. That dude with that athletic ability and attitude.
Fit in.
A good kid can fit into that team.
He's not a minus, but how much of a plus? We'll find out.
Oh, he's Millsap's on the bench now.
According to BPI, they have
Roger 40.
All right, according to BPI, they have the Jazz winning it all. Let's keep it moving here, guys. More NBA to get into. James Harden scoring 44, and the Nets held off the Pistons for the win on Friday night after the game. Harden staking his claim for MVP. Take a listen.
Well, I feel like I belong in it. I feel like I am the MVP. I mean, it's that simple. Just. And I don't want to talk. I don't want to be, speaking division of myself. But I'm going to just leave it at that.
Okay, I'm not going to start with my idol right now. I'm going to start with the voice of L.A. Max, do KD and Kyrie need Harden to win the title?
Yep, to win the title, yes. And I'm talking get out of the East. I mean, to win the title, yes. And I understand how James Harden feels. He's played the best basketball in the world this year. He just missed those games early with the Nets, but he has been amazing. And don't take for granted that this was going to work. There's one basketball. Harden and Kyrie had to figure that out. And listen, they go from, hey, can Kyrie and KD get past the Sixers if Embiid is healthy, right? The Bucks, you may say yes, but that's not a slam dunk, so to speak, let alone beating LeBron and AD in the finals. No, that ain't going to happen. Maybe they could get out of the East, maybe. They ain't beating LeBron and AD in the finals. But you add James Harden, I don't think they can be stopped if those three guys are playing. And it is a credit to James Harden and Kyrie Irving. I mean, KD, we already know, can fit into any team that ever lived. He's only going to be additive because he's so great in so many ways. But two ball-dominant backcourt players like Harden and Kyrie, for them to figure it out this quickly, my hat is off to them. The answer is they did need James Harden to win a title, and I believe with him, they will.
Well, first of all, I don't believe Kyrie and James Harden can win a title without KD. But I think that KD can win a title without one of the two. Not both, but one of the two. I think he can win a title. I think he can win a title with either of them. I think KD with Kyrie can win a title. I think KD with James Harden can win a title. I don't think that Kyrie with James Harden can win the title. That's where I'm at with it, number one. Number two, to answer the question directly, James Harden is right. At this particular moment in time, James Harden is the league MVP in my mind with Damian Lillard right on his heels. Number three, having said all of that, I reserve the right to change my mind because, after all, if Blake Griffin and LaMarcus Aldridge and, you know, everybody else comes back healthy and they get involved in the mix, how much do you have to do if you're James Harden? And so, as I'm concerned, the presence of all of those people.
You're going to hold his teammates against him?
Excuse me. I do have a vote. MVP voters, we take everything into consideration, and I will take everything into consideration. I know how great James Harden is. I voted for him years ago when he won the MVP award. He deserved it, okay? He was a top two.
You're holding it against him that Blake and LaMarcus Aldridge would be on the team?
No, I'm not saying that.
They're not what they used to
be. What I'm saying to you is that when you stack the deck and then the level of competition appears to have dissipated dramatically because nobody can hang with y'all, then I'm going to take that.
You just admitted earlier in the show.
I'm going to take that into consideration.
That's more of a negative for Blake and LaMarcus Aldridge than the Nets, because they're name brands, but they're not the same players anymore.
We're not talking about the Nets. We're talking about how an individual and an individual award looks. And I'll go back to your argument about Damian Lillard. If I'm looking at Damian Lillard, who played a chunk of time without C.J. McCollum, played a chunk of time without Nurkic, okay? Let's suppose, for example, that those two or somebody else or significant players goes down again, but Damian Lillard still looks like Damian Lillard. But Brooklyn is cakewalking through the rest of the season. Then I'm sorry.
That ain't going to be because Blake and LaMarcus. It's going to be because of KD.
Fine. What I'm saying to you is you throw everybody in the mix. I'm simply saying when you dramatically shift competitive balance, okay, that ultimately can end up, I'm not saying it will, but it can ultimately end up counting against you when the person on your heels is carrying the load and doing
his
thing too.
Let's
you can't ignore that. Remember when we gave it to Russell Westbrook when he averaged a triple-double immediately upon the departure of Kevin Durant? They were like a fourth or sixth seed, if I remember correctly, but we couldn't deny what we were seeing from Russell Westbrook and what he was working with. We can't ignore that.
I don't vote on the MVP. If I did at this moment, I give it to Damian Lillard. For what you just said, this is the argument I made the other day. Mm-hmm. He carried that team in the Western Conference without C.J. McCollum or Nurkic just before the Powell trade, mm-hmm. right? So I think he has a hair little lead over not just James Harden, but mm-hmm. also Jokic, who's had an amazing mm-hmm. season. I'll say this. James Harden's right, though. He's been the best player in basketball this year. He just hasn't been with the Nets the entire time. But if you have to, for the first time in his career, even when he was winning MVPs and putting up 35 points a night, for the first time in his career, when my eyes are on him, I said this like a month ago, I say it today, he's the best player in the game. When my eyes are on him, that's the feeling I get.
Listen,
he's been amazing.
I don't knock that. Damian Lillard is number two on my list right now to James Harden. He could end up winning it, no question about it. I'm not going to dismiss that the way that he's been balling, but I will give James Harden this warning on national television. Don't get into cruise control. In other words, because everybody is around you and how awesome you guys are going to be, obviously that might require him to step back because I don't need to do but so much because we're getting ourselves ready for the playoffs. Well, remember, the MVP is a regular season award. And so if Damian Lillard is pushing it and pushing it and pushing it and pushing the pedal to the metal and carrying that franchise, but James Harden takes a step back because of the multitude of bodies that have arrived in Brooklyn, I'm saying it might cost him the league MVP. Now, I'm not advising him to do anything one way or the other because obviously an individual award is far less important than winning a championship because that's what James Harden should and probably and more definitely
Bingo.
Is more than anything else. And I get it. But understand that when you talk about league MVP, you carry Houston. You don't have to carry Brooklyn like that.
The pressure for James Harden this year won't be in the regular season.
It's the title.
He cannot screw up in the playoffs. Not on this team. Not the way he's playing right now.
That's right.
My gosh, I love these warnings. It's like Cardi B on Be Careful. All right, Zion Williamson continues to impress as he scored 36 and led the Pelicans over the Mavericks Saturday night. Mavs head coach Rick Carlisle praised Zion and compared him to an NBA legend. Listen up, fellas.
He's an unusual force and obviously a great player. And so, we'll have to figure something a little better out next time. But he's doing this to everybody. And we did have some very good possessions guarding him. But he was a beast. It presents huge challenges for the defense and for the officials. You know, he's just creating collisions out there. And this is a Shaquille O'Neal type force of nature with a point guard skill set.
Stephen A., will Zion ever be the best player in the NBA?
I don't think so. I think that he will be exactly what Rick Carlisle described him as being right now. He didn't compare him to Shaquille O'Neal as a player, meaning their talents were comparable. He's talking about the force of nature. Yes, Garden, Zion, is that formidable. He's a powerful, powerful young man, and there's no way to guard him. When you talk about being the best player of the game, it's what you do on both ends of the floor. It's having the ball in your hands. It's being able to do a lot of things. And I'm not saying that Zion can't do a lot of those things, but
he's a willing passer. He's an underrated shooter. And here's the main thing why I think he'll get there one day. I don't know how long he'll hold the position. I think one day we'll say that's the best player in the world for some period of time. He's 20 years old and he's doing this. He's 2 years younger than Luka. He's a baby and he's doing this.
Yes. Offensive force, yes.
He puts in work in the paint. No question about that.
Go there.
All right, that'll do it for us here on First Take. Stephen A. is somebody's idol. I will leave you with that. Goodbye, America.